Well, thank you, David. Thank you, Gavin, for inviting me. It's good to be back and see so many familiar faces, not just in the front row, but here at the Royal Society. David was characteristically modest in referring to my role and Mariana's role in coming up with that industrial strategy of 2017. But he had a major role himself. I remember many a summer day being spent in the garden of David's house in Havant when we were writing drafts with Mariana on speed dial to produce this in time for the autumn. I took the view, and thankfully David, who's been my great friend and mentor over the years, took the view that it's actually quite fun to roll your sleeves up and do the writing yourself, not just to get others to do it. You, of course, need to involve others in seeing it, but there's something special about doing the first draft, and David was an absolute trooper in that and has a lot of credit for what emerged there. What I thought I would do, just to introduce what I'm looking forward to as the discussion, is say something, so three observations about the new approach to industrial strategy, and perhaps highlight five challenges that I think it should address. So the first of the three observations that I would make is that it's good to have industrial strategy back. When David, Mariana and I, and lots of people in this room, were working on the 2017 one, we'd hoped it would be there for the long term. And we did a number of things to try to embed it, but clearly that didn't work. So it's a happy circumstance that we are able to have this meeting in the context of a new industrial strategy. And the reason for that is not just kind of amor propre. It's that I thought and think that in a world of change, in a complex world, in a world of international competition, but also cooperation, it's good to be clear and explicit as a government and as a country about what you're doing. You shouldn't expect people to read your mind. To set it out there so that others can see it seems to me to be advantageous. And in so doing, actually it helps you think about the policies and the investments and the priorities that you have yourself. So it is a useful exercise. Sometimes people in my party and David's party, the Conservative Party, have sometimes been very skeptical of industrial strategy, thought this is not really something that Conservative government should be doing. And I've always found that rather mystifying because the party has like to think of itself as being in tune with business. And I try to imagine the chief executive of a business at an annual general meeting taking a kind of question from the floor from a shareholder to say, how do you see the future and how is our company going to prosper in the future? And were that chief executive to say, well, we haven't really thought about it, we thought we'd just sort of play it by ear, we'll muddle through, I don't think they would get a terribly good reception from that AGM, and I don't think any government that took the same approach should get a very good reception from the electorate. So it's good that it's back. The second thing is that I think it's good that there is an intention that it should endure, that it should be a strategy for the long term, not to say it shouldn't change from time to time and adapt, but its intention is that it should endure. And the reason we know this is the government has been very clear that they intend to set up an industrial strategy council on a statutory footing. So it can't be abolished in the way that the industrial strategy council that I set up and persuaded Andy Hanaldane to chair, which he did extremely well, was scrapped by one of my Conservative successors not many years after I introduced it. So I think that seriousness of purpose to ensure that it, or at least to try to ensure that it endures, I think is commendable. And the third observation that I would make, and these are observations, as you sense, by way of nods of approval, is that the government, I think, has been sensible enough and kind enough to draw on some of the work that we've done in this room. We did put a lot of time and thought into it, and many people in this room contributed to it, and people outside this room in sectors, in businesses, in universities, research institutions, trade unions, local authorities, put a lot of thought into it. And rather than, as is sometimes the case with new governments, and I can I've served in a government that was newly elected. Sometimes you can go to a kind of year zero approach and everything that was done before is a load of rubbish. Actually, they haven't done that. And Jonathan Reynolds, the Secretary of State, has been kind enough on multiple occasions to reference the work that Mariana, David and I were associated with and to say explicitly that it will be built on and used. And I think the green paper, which I think is a very good green paper, it's a discussion paper, clearly does that, clearly draws on and references that. So so three cheers for, I think, the way that they intend to approach it. In terms of the challenges that I think the government and we all, as part of the community that want this to succeed, need to address, many of them have been touched on by my colleagues earlier, and that is not surprising. That's a good thing. And the first is that it needs to be integrative. If you think of a strategy, most people's first thought of a strategy is that it's a plan for the future, and so it is. That's important that it should be such. But I've always thought that there's another sense of the word strategy, which is a strategy can integrate different strands, different policies in the government sense, different sort of views of the future, and to be a kind of clearinghouse to make sure that they point in the same direction and don't trip each other up or contradict each other. And that's important for the reasons that a number of the speakers have said, that in government, which you know, perhaps inevitably tends to be organized in silos of departments, and these departments can be kind of great baronies, and they can end up by pursuing policies that are not congruent and can be sometimes incompatible. When I was the Secretary of State, as is described in the slide there, it says business, energy, and industrial strategy. That was quite a lot to be going on with. I had a lot of things there. But actually, the title didn't include a very important part of it, which was science, innovation, and technology, the research budget, which was also part of the department. So a lot of the tools, a lot of the policy instruments for industrial strategy were in one department. Now, for better or for worse, there have been machinery of government changes that have created the Department for Business and Trade. They've brought trade in. But energy is now in a separate department, energy and net zero. Science, innovation, and technology is in DSIT, a different department. So there has been a bit of a fragmentation. Now, I understand the reasons for that, to have the focus. But it seems to be more than ever before, when you don't have a single department that had all of these different things in, you have to be very integrative within government. And I hope that will be the way that the government will interpret that. And if you think of one application of that, take the future of mobility, electric vehicles and other types, and autonomous vehicles for that matter. Clearly it involves the Department for Business and Trade, Julia's department, but obviously it involves the Transport Department as well, insofar as it affects energy. It's the Department of Energy and Net Zero, clearly in terms of innovation, DSIT, and probably other departments as well. Certainly the Treasury will be included, perhaps when it comes to the operation, charging points and such like, Ministry of Housing, Communities and Local Government. So all of these things, it's extremely important, I would say, and I dare say Peter from his commercial experience would confirm, you can't be sending innovative businesses around the houses of Whitehall, as it were, sort of knocking on multiple doors and expecting us to be competitive with the rest of the world. So integrative, an integrative approach, I think, is important. The second challenge, I would say, is that it seems clear that this is a world that there is not much spare money available. We've had the budget in recent weeks. In our time, and David heroically in his time as the Universities and Science Minister protected, even during the time of austerity, the science budget. I managed, as a result of the persuasiveness of the industrial strategy, got an increase, which was then the biggest ever percentage increase in the science budget, from 9 billion a year to 12 billion a year. As it happens, after my time, it was increased from 12 billion to 20 billion a year. So we've had a rising public sector research and development budget, but I would be surprised, I'd be delighted if it were otherwise, but I don't think we should expect to see such major increases in the budgets, that's to say new money that was available, because we were able to use that new money to create things like the Industrial Strategy Challenge Fund that supported many of these missions that Mariana talked about, that didn't need to, as it were, sort of take money from Peter to pay Paul. It was additional money, so we were able to do that. That, I think, is going to be more challenging. And one of the thoughts that I have about that is that in a world of little new money, some of the other tools that government have, particularly in the regulatory environment, government has a proposal to create a new Office of Regulatory Innovation, RIO, they're to call it. And I think there's probably more mileage there than, frankly, we really focused on in the 2017 industrial strategy, to see how we can use the power of government to make a difference to the country and particular industries and challenges through being innovative in regulation. So that would be the second challenge that I would have, to think about innovation, to think about regulation in the context of innovation. The third is that I think it would be particularly important, and if it hasn't been realised, I'm sure it'll quickly become apparent, that delivery is going to be important for a newly elected government. The Labour manifesto had a single word on the front cover: change. And if you run on such a bold slogan and you distill it, your message down to that, then that will be, no doubt, produced at the time of the next election, and people will ask, well, what's changed? And we might think that we're at the beginning of a new parliament, but as David knows, these things progress very quickly. And given that we no longer have a fixed-term parliament, that in the coalition we knew that the parliament was going to be 5 years, it's normally the case that governments go to the country after 4 years. And given that the election was in July, normally in May, we may well have an election in May 2018, so, in other words, not much more than 3 years. We're nearly at the new year. So that's not much time. And so how do you deliver? How do you make a change in that time? My reflection on nearly 7 years working in government, in Whitehall departments as a minister, is that you have to do it through partnerships. Whitehall departments very rarely, if ever, do things directly themselves. They usually do it in partnerships with businesses, partnerships with local councils and mayoral authorities, partnerships with universities and research institutions. So getting those partnerships up and running, many of them already exist, of course, but delivering, I think is going to be important. And to do that at pace, if we've got less than 4 years, I think it will require an agility of approach. Some of the policies, no doubt, in the industrial strategy will be new ones, but they need to be implemented through partnerships very quickly to produce a result. So the fourth of my five challenges that I see that the government will have to face is, and it's been touched on by others, what was called in the last administration, levelling up. That's to say, the kind of prosperity of the whole country. Very important, rightly, for this government, and it's been a big interest of mine. Apart from industrial strategy, one of the things that I spent most of the time on in my ministerial career was creating these mayoral authorities and devolving power to them. That means that we have in place arrangements that we didn't have in 2010 were only really beginning to kind of get underway towards the end of our time in government. But now you do have these authorities. Some of them are very capable. You can make use of them. But some of them are either new or some of them perhaps inevitably haven't developed the momentum that others have. And my approach there, my advice to the government, would be to be quite activist in that. If there's an opportunity in a region that really needs to do well and they don't have the capacity, then partner with them and you know, help them with that and roll up your sleeves and help them do it. And I hope that they will. And the final challenge, and I cite them as challenges because they're not easy to resolve, and you know, thoughtful people and well-meaning people in government will have to think carefully about them. But it's a challenge that is familiar to everyone in this room and in this building, which is the challenge of maintaining, and not only maintaining, reinforcing excellence, especially when it comes to science and research and technology. But at the same time, making sure that places right across the country benefit from the investments and the policy that we have. The classic question of science policy over the years that David grappled with, as I did, and others before. I think the partnership approach has a lot to commend to it in that respect. I think it would be wrong to starve or to undermine our most excellent and highest performing institutions and to take money from them and send it elsewhere. But we have, when we're thinking about the whole of the country, we have the benefit of really strong institutions. And I'm not just saying this because I'm now at the University of Warwick, but that is certainly one of those institutions in places, the West Midlands in that case, but you can think of the University of Manchester, you can think of Sheffield, in places right across the country, who are really important in their regions, but really strong nationally as well. And I think an approach that we have greater partnership between institutions, especially those in the Golden Triangle with the rest of the country, I think can be very productive and in many ways translating ideas into practice so that where we have innovation, it goes the full final mile in turning that into jobs and local impact, I think is important. So I'm delighted that we're able to have this conversation tonight because we're able to do so because we have a green paper that is about to become a white paper over the months ahead. Everything I see in the government tells me that they want to do this seriously and well. I think the FST in putting this event forward is doing a service. I'm sure both through Julia and others, this will be transmitted to our friends in government. They're my thoughts, very subjective thoughts, but someone who, with our colleagues here, has tried to give it a go, but very much look forward to the expertise in this room that we can add to what the government has taken in the consultation that's just closed. Thank you very much indeed.